so much. It is Father's Day, and I have a child that plays the flute, and I have a child that plays the violin, and I have a child that plays the guitar, and all my children play the piano. So I feel right at home here, Baker's Heights. I love it. Thank you very, very much. Great music, good singing. We ought to get together 7 days a week and sing songs like this, hadn't we? I hope you do in your hearts. I hope you do in your home. He will hold us fast, and He is a good God, and we don't quite have 1,000 tongues here to sing His praise, but let's sing it. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to dedicate this to You. You are the great and loving Father. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You abide in us, and this building is not Your house, but there are many of Your houses gathered in this building. And so we ask You to speak and encourage and comfort and enlighten us and use Your Word to honor our beautiful Savior, our wonderful Savior, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, I have got a PowerPoint because they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So if I show some pictures, I don't have to talk as much. But we'll see how that goes. I am a representative, a field director for Gospel Link, and that's a missions organization that works primarily with national preachers. We have right now about 1,200 missionaries that we support, we send out, and only one of them is American. That means if you are in Zambia, you're from Zambia. If you're in Zimbabwe, you're from Zimbabwe. If you're in Vietnam, you're from Vietnam. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I think you're familiar with it a little bit because this church supports one of the men that we found in Zambia. We don't support anyone unless they're involved in church planning actively. Everyone overseas needs money, but we're looking to be a mission organization that's planning churches and discipling people. And we have a Bible college that I'm going to mention. Obviously, Pastor Raymond has been there several times. But I want to tie this in a little bit with the concept of God being a father. So our verse on the screen is from Genesis 17, and that's small. You probably can't read that, can you? Well, I'm going to read it for you. And this is from Genesis 17. Abram is 90 years old and 9. So he's 99, 1 year before his 100th birthday. You don't meet too many people like that. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. We only see that a few times in the Scriptures, but God says, I am El Shaddai. And you think, well, why did He wait for Abraham to be 99? Why didn't you tell me that when I was 9? Getting to know God takes time, takes ups and downs, takes trials. I hope none of you are as close to God as you would like to be. We need to be drawing near to the Lord and looking for our Father. But God comes to him at 99, and he tells Abram, walk before me. Be complete, be perfect. I will make a covenant between you and me, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face. This is the Almighty, holy, no one can stand in your presence, God. I wonder why he fell on his face. Was the voice of God that powerful? It doesn't say he saw God. It says he appeared, but God can appear in spirit. Did he smell God? Did he sense God in this something's going on atmosphere? I don't even want to look up. He has the right response. He's humble. Woe is me. God says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And listen to this. Right after he promised he would multiply Abram, he says, I will make you a father of many nations. How many children does Abram have at this time? One. And he's not a very good one. I think Ishmael is a juvenile delinquent. That's what happens when your dad is in his 80s. You don't probably get the time you need with him to train him. But he says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You see, Abram had this idea of having a son. Carry on my name. Have someone to pass on my inheritance. Someone to share my values. Someone that shares my image. And God had so much more of a vision. Most of us, our vision is too small. We are worried about our mortgage, the weeds in the driveway, the behavior of my kids, politics in Washington. There is a kingdom There is a kingdom, and our Father in heaven is thinking bigger than we are. He's thinking big. He's not thinking, well, let's get a few people saved, or let's get a few people following. No, I want you to be a father of many nations because I am a father of many nations. Now, it's interesting because this word nation doesn't mean the United Nations. He didn't mean different countries. He meant different people groups. Now, as Abraham thinking, okay, I've got to go marry a Vietnamese woman and a Japanese woman and a Chinese woman, a woman from Argentina, and then all my kids will be different nations? No, Abram, you have one wife. Pretty clear on that. Got into trouble when he tried to have more than one wife, didn't he? You will be a father of many nations, not because you're going to have little babies that have different ethnicities or different mothers, but my vision for you is not just that you will have children, but you are going to be the father of faith. Next slide is from Galatians. We read this in Galatians, where, again, this is a good 2,500 years later, Paul is actually explaining the mystery. This is a little bit like a riddle. God comes to Abram, you're 99 years old, you're going to have kids. How can that happen? You're going to be the father of many different people groups. How can that happen? Well, Paul explains this. Abraham, in Galatians 3, verse 6, Abraham believed God. I like this. It doesn't say Abraham impressed God. It doesn't say that Abraham was faultless before God. It doesn't say Abraham was perfect. It doesn't say Abraham had all his ducks in a row. It doesn't say Abraham gave a whole lot of money to God. What did Abraham do? He believed. Every other religious structure is built on your behavior. You have to pray a certain amount. You have to give a certain amount. You have to act a certain way. You know what God does to get children? They believe. They believe that you are God and I am not. You are good and I am not. You are the Father and I am not. I am needy and you are not. I am sinful. You are not. Jesus died for my sins, and I cannot. Jesus rose from the dead, and without him I never will. Where's the action there? Where's the performance there? This is faith. Abraham believed and set a precedence that God wanted for mankind, for the rest of the world. Abraham was the first one, the prototype of faith, as it were. And so all those who believe in the work of God, consequently, the work of Christ on the cross, enter into the family of faith. Who's the father? Who's the patriarch? Abraham. Perfect? No. Want to do everything he did? No. Going to lead a marriage seminar on how to handle your wife in Egypt? No way. Right? Abraham's got a lot of faults, but he believed. And because he believed, God credited it as righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same children of Abraham. When God appears to Abram and he's 99, he's picturing you. He's picturing West Virginia. He's picturing this room. You are the children of faith. Your father is not only Abraham, but El Shaddai, the great father, the good father. Now, I want to tell you good news. There's a verse, Proverbs 25:25. It says, good news from a far country is like cold waters to a thirsty soul. We don't get a lot of good news, but the good news is God is still in the adoption business. God is still in the fatherhood business. You see, I think of an adoption agency, and they're back here sitting in their office, and they're getting papers ready, and they're trying to get visas ready, and they're contacting embassies. And if you want a child from China, or if you want a child from Ethiopia, where this shirt came from, you come in, and you apply, and you get your home study done. You make sure you have a fire extinguisher in your house. I know this because my parents adopted a little girl from China. And you're back here, and you're waiting for people to come to you. But picture this. God's adoption agency doesn't sit back in an office. God's adoption agency comes out here and says, come be my child. Come to my house. I have a banquet. Would you like to be my child? Come to my house. Come. All ye that are weary and heavy laden. Come out of the highways and the byways. Quit serving mammon. Quit living for your flesh. And come, yield yourself to Jesus Christ. Come to the Father of lights. There is no variableness, no shadow changing with Him. He is good to those who call on Him. He is a Savior. Come! And the Father is looking for more children. He's not waiting 9 months. He says, today is the day of salvation. Now, this is good news. This is good news. And when I say good news from a far country is like cold waters to a thirsty soul, I don't struggle with discouragement very often. Because I'm working with this missions organization, and we get letters from, again, about 1,200 different people in almost 20 different countries, certainly not the whole globe, but most of these are third world countries, struggling countries, a lot of poverty countries. We're in Southeast Asia, we're in a lot of countries in Africa, but the gospel is going out. And if you watch the news, I'm not against the news, but if you watch the news, what are you going to hear? Corruption, war, tragedy. What was that? What did you say?
Fake news.
Well, you see fake news, right? You don't even know what's true. The gospel's true. Changed lives are true. They're not sensational, and so they're not out there. They're not out there. But about 3 years ago, I started a podcast, and it's called A Cup of Good News. Now, again, I don't have a lot of time, so I do 2 a month. But we're up to episode, almost up to episode 70. They're all in the archives. If you'd like some encouragement, go to acupofgoodnews.org. If you listen to podcasts, it's simply Cup of Good News. I've got a sign-up sheet, and this is not going to be put on some mailing list. This is just personal. If you're interested in me reminding you, I'm going to pass this around. Have it go to the back, somehow make it around there. You can give me your name, your email address, no obligation, but you know, you'll hear me and say, well, that's a good idea, and you'll go home and think, well, wait a minute, what was the name of that? It was something like Good News from a Far Country. If you give me your email, I'll write it to you. I'll send you a little note. Hey, this episode's coming out. Not every month. I usually do it. I send a reminder every 3 months. But good news from a far country. The good news is the Father is moving. The Father is working. We're in sad days politically. I understand we're losing a culture war in the United States. I am not a stupid optimist. But I want you to know the kingdom of God is not losing. I want you to know there are more born-again Christians on planet Earth than ever before in the history of the world. Now, I understand the population is going up. And again, I understand Europe is going the wrong way, Canada is going the wrong way. In fact, the United States is the only Western country per capita that has maintained our Christian population in the last 50 years. Again, I'd like to see more Christians here. I wish more people were coming to Christ. But you know what we do see? We see places like Malawi changing. We see places like Cambodia changing. Shall we do some good news? Shall we talk about the Father working? Next slide. This is a picture. Oh, next slide. This is a picture of me in Africa. I've been to Africa over 30 times. And this is a Muslim. He's not flying his airplane into me. He has not received Christ, but we had a Muslim lunch. And they came all morning. And I went through the book of Genesis. I went through Exodus. Sat down and dialogued with these men who are all Muslim about the truth of Jesus Christ. Next slide. We had an question and answer time. That's me. I don't speak Chichewa, so I need a translator. Near the end of the day, there's this old wizzled up raisin looking man. I don't know how he made it to the place, bailing at a limp. And he has a Muslim headgear on. And he raises his hand and he says, I don't care about Christianity. Just what you want to hear after pouring your heart out. But he wasn't done. He said, I don't care about Islam. Ooh, some of his buddies turned around and looked at him. He raised his hands. He says, I am so old, I don't care about that anymore. All I want to know is the truth. Now, what was he saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. I've only got a year left to live. So I don't care if the Republicans are in the House or the Democrats are in the House. I don't care. I just want to know the truth. Because in his mind, Christianity, Islam is a political thing. It's a social thing. But he realizes I'm about to meet my Creator, and I'm not sure. Next slide. This is him. But I couldn't talk to him. He doesn't speak a lick of English. I sat there and ate my meal with him and shook his hand. But you know what happened? Within 6 months, one of our national preachers that lived there on the lakeshore went down, would share the Bible with him, visit him. Didn't meet him for the first time. They've known him for several years because they've lived there. But we went there, had this conference, opened up his heart. Our national preacher named Zach Encada led him to Christ before he died. Wasn't on his deathbed. He showed him and explained to him who Jesus was. Talked to him in Chichewa. No American fanfare. No, hey, if you accept Jesus, we'll give you a goat. No, this man only wanted to know the truth. And a national preacher was able to do that. That's good news. Next slide. You see, most of Africa, honestly, I believe, is being reached by national preachers. As Americans, we have a huge privilege and responsibility to bring good teaching and medical work. You want to be a missionary? Become a teacher? Get involved in medicine. Third world doesn't have good teaching, they don't have resources, they don't have medicines. But the evangelism is being done largely by guys like this. This man's name is Kapalamula Booker Banda. He became a Christian when he was 18 years old back in the 1960s. The missionary was from Oklahoma. See, missions works. The gospel goes out and the father says that, I want more children. Booker had made a commitment never to go into a church. That's the white man's religion. But his sister had become a Christian and tricked him into going to church, and the missionary was there. Hence, I've met that missionary. The missionary is now in his 90s. Guess where he lives? He lives back in Oklahoma, right? He's from Oklahoma. He went and served there many, many years. Where does Booker live? Booker lives in Malawi. Booker has started over 30 churches. Booker has translated J. Vernon McGee's speeches into Chichewa and is on the radio. In other words, the national people, once they're trained, if they're supported, can do a lot more than we can do. Now, actually, Booker lives in heaven today. He just passed away just recently. But he's a picture of what Gospel Inc. is trying to support. Next slide. This is another man named Philibert Mbewe. Philibert Mbewe lives in the northern Malawi. And fascinatingly, he was at his house and he heard this great big crash. And it was the middle of the day. He ran out and on his small little street, someone had taken a pickup truck and had gone off the road and smashed into another brick house head on. He ran down there and they got some medical personnel. And the driver was still living, but he was injured. They called the doctor. I don't even know if they have ambulances, but they got this guy to a hospital. The driver's name was Wanangwa Kaunda. And Wanangwa Kaunda had tried to commit suicide. Middle of the day, driving his truck as fast as he could go and just ran it into a house. Was unsuccessful. Because the Father is merciful, isn't he? Philibert found out, you know, the story, went and visited him. Talk to him about his need for a Savior. You want to end your life because you don't know life. You want to end your life because you don't have life. He who has the Son has life. And you know what Philibert did? Philibert led Wanangwa to know the Lord Jesus. Next slide. That's Wanangwa today. Wanangwa Kaunda is a dynamite preacher. Has started his own churches in Malawi today. The guy before Philibert was supported by Americans through Gospel Inc. Wanangwa was supported to go to the Ambassadors International University. We used to call it Kazimba Bible College. This is where Pastor Raymond has taught many, many times. You may know Wanangwa. Next slide. This is Wanangwa learning some auto mechanics there in Zambia. Next slide. The Bible College has chickens. We don't expect guys just to sit around. They got to help earn their food there at the Bible College. This is all Wanangwa Kaunda. This is one of the guys that passed when Pastor Raymond has gone over. This is one of the guys that he's trained. Wanangwa has finished now. But this is some of his Bible College pictures. Next slide. There he is on the tractor. They've got a big farm in Zambia. Next slide. There he is, a graduate. Learned to work, heard the gospel from another national preacher, went to Bible college because people in the United States supported him. Now, maybe you're involved in that. I hope you're involved. I was just talking to Sharon and Pam back here said, well, I support one of those Bible college guys. Thank you, Pam. Makes a difference. Listen to me. I tell people that you are supposed to support your local church. That's very clear. Paul said, if I feed you spiritually, you should support me materially. But you know, when you give money to your church, you get something. You get a soft chair. You get decent music. You get solid Bible teaching. And you should, right? There's a mutual relationship spiritually. When you support someone like this, what do you get? You don't get anything. Next slide. He gets something. He gets equipped. He gets a diploma. He gets encouraged. But you don't get anything. In some ways, that's a sacrifice of righteousness. Because, Pam, you've never met that student, have you? You give to the Lord in faith that God will use that $30, $40, I don't know what you give. But you have faith that God's going to use that to make a difference in his life, and you'll never meet him until you get into eternity. But you know what? What a privilege to be involved in an adoption agency like that. Next slide. We spend a lot of time training our national preachers, equipping them. GospelLink is really, we actually don't send any money. We just go around and try to find people that love missions, that care about missions. We're the accountability liaison. Next slide. You can go to Africa. We'd love to have you go. It's not really scary. It's probably safer than Baltimore. How about that? That doesn't help, does it? 6 years ago, I was here with some of the children from this place. This is Harvest Hope Home. Next slide. We've got over 70 children. They live with families in these buildings. Next slide. You may remember them. They sang. How many were here 6 years ago? It was a Wednesday night. Yeah, good. Okay, next slide. The kids are growing. We're teaching them to work. Next slide. This is the before picture. We have a little boy named Pampero, and this was where he was living. He was living, both his parents were deceased. He's living with an auntie, not very well off. You think your house needs repair? We don't even bother these houses. It's interesting because Pampero, his name actually means prayer. Next slide. There he is today at Harvest Hope Home. Being supported by people from USA. Next slide. There he is out gathering mangoes. Next slide. There's his adopted daddy. That's Shadrach Galatia. He actually was in this building 6 years ago. Next slide. I don't like these pictures. I don't want to use African poverty pictures to try to evoke money. I much prefer the next slide. There they are. Get them some clothes, get them some food, get them some love. This is Salimani and Rashid. Next slide. Rashid came to us and said, don't call me Rashid anymore. My name is Owen. Now, I don't know where he got the name Owen. I asked him, I said, where did he hear that? He said, we don't know. We haven't had anyone from America visit named Owen. But he's got a new name because he knows that Rashid is Muslim. He said, I'm not Muslim. He's a smart little guy, one of the best Mancala players on the place. There he is beating his big sister. Next slide. There he is, Christmas, eating his dinner. Next slide. There's Owen. Again, teaching them to work. We have rice. We have corn. We have sweet potatoes. This is a place on Lake Malawi that 300 years ago knew slavery. And today, they know the gospel. Next slide. The New Testament also talks about fatherhood. I've got this. I was just asking my daughter this morning. I said, when you think of fatherhood and the scriptures, what do you think about? And she says, well, God is a father. And so I said, well, turn to Romans 8. Again, I'm sorry you can't read that, but this is what Romans 8 says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Children of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery to fear. You know how many people serve their gods out of fear? The pagans did. The Stone Age people do. We don't have a fear of our daddy. In fact, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Papa, Abba, Papa, Father. God is a father in the Old Testament. God is a father in the New Testament. And he's calling people, even the people that are not worthy, even the hardened communists. Next slide. I'm working largely. Oh, did you hear? This is my son. Yes. Do you want to say hello? Okay. What's your name?
My name is Emmanuel.
My name is Emmanuel. We got to say it a little slower. Emmanuel's 9, but you're supposed to be sitting with Lydia. Yeah, okay. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good boy. You go sit with Lydia. I saw when I said Papa, he perked right up. He knows who Papa is. I've been working in Ukraine for about 15 years. And you been getting any good news from this country lately? Not much, have you? Can I tell you this? My national preachers, we have about 70 people that we've supported in Ukraine. They've said more people have come to Christ in the last 2 years in Ukraine than the previous 7. Now, I don't like to see the bombs. I don't like to see the missiles. I don't want to see Melitopol ruined by the Russians. I don't want to see these terrible pictures. But you know what? What will God allow so that people come to him? Next slide. Oh, next slide. There we go. Okay. This is what, if you were at this church, if Baker Heights was in Ukraine, your halls would not be eaten in once a day. The word got out, find a Baptist church, they'll feed you for free. As the refugees poured through, next slide. Sometimes they could only stay for 2 or 3 days, but they became a Airbnb with no charge. Your halls would look like this. Next slide. These are all pictures out of Ukraine. You would set up the best you could, tea stations or food stations. Next slide. I love this story. This is a story about Alexander Chub. Alexander Chub is an elderly man, and he can live on about the $150 that we send him. His church gives him a little bit of money, but now that the war is going on, he needs support even more than ever. He said, we couldn't believe it the day we woke up and we heard the missiles blowing and the bombs crashing. We said, we couldn't believe it. He said, we ran down into our potato cellar. Now, he's a pastor that lives down in the southwestern part of Ukraine, and he said he's got a small dacha, but there's people that live in these Soviet-built concrete houses. You don't want to be in one of those when it gets hit by a missile. So he said pretty soon all kinds of people, neighbors that knew we had the potato cellar, were gathered in there. He said, so there we are listening to bombs, listening to artillery, and I realized what a great place to share the gospel. What a great place to share the gospel. So he began talking about God. What do you think happened? Now, you have to realize the Ukrainians aren't all good Sunday school Christians. These people used to be communists too. If there's a God, why are the Russians invading? If there's a God, why is he letting this happen? Don't tell me about a loving God when we're getting killed, invaded. They're not happy. How dare God let bad things happen to me? But the other neighbor said, well, whoa, wait a minute. He says, if there's a God, now is when we need him. But let the preacher talk. I mean, it was his potato cellar, right? He had home field advantage. So there was this discussion. And Alexander Chub said, I spent hours. He had a service longer, he never had in a church service, going over the gospel, answering questions, helping them see affliction and tragedy from God's point of view. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I learned thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might keep thy word. It makes me cry. I've shed tears because I've been to Ukraine. I know these people. We hate the Russians, but you know what I realize? Putin has cleaned out the orphanages and sent those orphan kids to die on the front lines. I went into those orphanages in Russia for 5 years to reach them. Makes me cry. But you know, people are coming to Christ. One of our Ukrainian men, he lives on the Russian-occupied side. He goes back and forth. He fills his car with Bibles and he passes them out to the Russian soldiers at the checkpoints. You don't see that on Fox News, do you? But there's national people there. How many people do you know signing up to be missionaries to Ukraine right now? I mean, once in a while, but the national guys, they can't leave. If you're under the age of 60 and you're male, you can't leave the country. Next slide. This is another perspective of Alexander Chubb's potato cellar. I had to laugh because, you know what made me think of it? It made me think of the two thieves on the cross. If you're God, save us. Save us. And the other man said, oh, no, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Next slide. This is Nikolai Zhilovin. He's been supported through our ministry for 20 years by one single woman from Sterling, Virginia. She sent him over $100 every month for 20 years. When the war broke out, she got on the phone, where's Nikolai? Is he safe? I said, well, Nikolai's right down there. I haven't heard from him for 6 months. I don't know. She says, oh, I'm praying for him every day. You know, we're set up like World Vision, but instead of supporting a child, you support a family in their work for the gospel. This woman, she loves Nikolai. Well, finally, I got a letter from Nikolai. They're supposed to write a report every 3 months, but when the war came, we hadn't heard. He said, yeah, we're our village is overrun, and they looked for a barracks, so the biggest place was the Baptist church. So I decided to go down and introduce myself. So he went down. He speaks Russian. He's ethnic Russian, even though he lives in Ukraine. He says, ah, здравствуйте, приветствую, меня зовут Николай Жиловин. He said, I'm the pastor here. And they said, okay, come with us. They put him in jail. He said, what's the matter? He said, you're a person of interest. Now, they didn't torture him, didn't beat him. He was just a person of interest. He probably said, well, can I call my wife? A lot of times we ask God why. I read his story, and I was reminded, don't ask God why. Ask God what. Nikolai said, I wasn't upset, wasn't really worried. I just said, God, what do you want me to do? I did what I thought you wanted me to do. I went down, greeted them. He probably didn't say welcome, but he says, what do you want me to do? He said, I hadn't been there 10 minutes, and I knew what God wanted me to do. You see, there's another young man in there named Andre. Andre was in there for I don't know what reason. He's 20 years old, and he's mad, angry, hates the Russians. And Nikolai's different because he's a child of God. They spent the night together, two nights together in jail. And Nikolai led Andre to receive Christ as his Savior. Not why, Lord, but what, Lord? But what, Lord? When they let Nikolai out 2 days later, Andre grabbed him. He says, I'm the reason you're in here. I'm the reason you're in here. I'm the reason you're in here. That's probably true. Next slide. This is, we're also working in Cambodia because God is the father of many nations. You know anything about Cambodia? We're working in Vietnam. It's a hard place. This guy's name is Yuen Meek. Yuen Meek is a woodcutter. He would climb the mountains with his ox cart and stay up there for 6 days for $10. Not $10 a day. He made his profit margin was $10 every 6 days. He went up in the mountains and filled his ox cart with wood. He was a very quiet guy. He was trying to pursue Buddhism. His goal and his hope in life was to become a Buddhist priest. He wanted to be a Buddhist priest. And then something happened one day. His brother came home and said, well, these people are in town and they're trying to do agriculture work. They're trying to teach us some things. So he went down and met them and they gave him a Bible. You know what? God gave us the most remarkable revelation of himself. Are you involved in getting this out? Do you support the Gideons? Do you have any in your car? How many of you go to Chinese restaurants? Nobody here? Okay, pastor does. Okay, a few of you. Listen, if you go into a Chinese restaurant, you are interfacing with people who have never read the Bible. And you're interfacing with some who can't read English. How hard would it be for this church to get 12 Chinese Bibles and one family signs up? Okay, I'm on January. I'm going to go to a Chinese restaurant and I'm going to give this to one of the workers. Gifts are a big deal in Asia. I go into a Chinese restaurant in Georgia where I live and Shout Sing always says, oh, I have not seen you. I have not seen you. You give me Bible. I'd like her to come to church, but she works 7 days a week. She doesn't speak English, but I got her a Chinese Bible. How hard is that? Yuen Ming got a Bible in Cambodia. He read it, talked to him, learned more about Jesus, and became a Christian. Today, next slide. Today, Yuen Ming is actively involved in planting churches. He's supported through Gospel Inc. Southeast Asia. Next slide. He's still quiet, but in his town, he's led 31 families to Christ. It's funny because they don't count individuals in their culture. They count families. Now, we pressed him, so I guess he did a head count, and out of those 31 families, there's 106 people coming to this church. But they count families. How many families have you reached? You know, you could be involved with a family of Gospel Inc. You could be, and listen to me, I'm not saying you have to be involved with the ministry of Gospel Inc., but I do tell people this, you need to be involved. We are living in harvest days. Your time is limited. As Americans, we're struggling with bills, taxes, all kinds of things. I know the pressures. I live here too. But you have a privilege to support someone like this for $30 a month, a dollar a day, $50 a month. Makes a difference in their life. If you're interested and want to pray about it, that's fine. Go to A Cup of Good News. I tell people about it. Talk to Pastor. He knows all about our ministry, Gospel Link. If you're interested in signing up, I actually have a sign-up sheet in the back. You can sign up there. I don't want to make this about money because God doesn't need your money. Missionaries used to come to my church when my dad was a Baptist pastor in Maine, and they'd ask for money and tell all the great things that could happen if we gave this, if we built this building. And I thought, well, what are they asking me for money? You're supposed to ask God for money. In fact, by the car they drive, and they have more money than I do. Right? God doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, if I was poor, I wouldn't tell you. This is the way I look at it. The kingdom's coming. Eternity's coming. If I'd showed up here 40 years ago and said, hey, I got a friend named Steve Jobs, and he's trying to get people to invest in this funny little thing called an Apple. Would you give $30 a month to Steve Jobs for 2 years? The dividends are supposed to be out of this world. Guys, the kingdom of God, the glories of heaven, if your $50 a month or $40 a month could help one person from Cambodia get to know who Jesus is, to receive Christ as Savior. I'm working with a guy in Iran who is supported through Gospel Inc. He's got 13,000 Bibles into Iran in the last year. I'm thinking, how much do I want to walk into God's kingdom? And there'll be 10 Iranians that grab me and hug me. It's like, you gave money and I got a Bible because of you, dude. It's like, oh, wow, okay. Because I ain't taking it with me. But you know what I do want? I want treasure in heaven. I want treasure in heaven. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. I love the Lord. I love His work. I love the fatherhood and the idea of having brethren throughout all the nations. It's a joy. It's a privilege. Africa, Asia, Ukraine, Iran. God is bringing people into His family. Let's pray. Lord, there's no one like You. You're a good Father. You're not a pushover. You're not a cheap welfare office. You're not grace without cost. Lord Jesus, You gave Your blood. You gave Your life. You took a whipping so that my iniquities could be healed. I believe in Your word. I believe in Your gospel. And so I pray and I ask You that You would keep moving. I ask You to work in this area. I see the houses right over here, and I think how many people didn't think about You this morning. I think of the kids that came to Vacation Bible School in this building this week and heard about Jesus in a new way they'd never heard before. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would pursue them and awake something in their spirit, that they would come to know you, and that they would be able to bypass so many pitfalls in their youth because they gave their life and their body to the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we have never given you anything that you haven't paid back or that we regret, because you're worthy of all honor and of all glory. I thank you for working in the nations. Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for what's happening here. Thank you for the faithfulness of so many people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue your work until the day of your coming. For your glory, which is forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't close with a song, but I do have a little gift for Raymond. I don't know, how many times have you been to, hang on, how many times have you been to Zambia? Oh, isn't he? Okay, I thought he was in the back there. How many? No problem. Well, I have a gift for him. There's a little mug in here, and there's a CD of Zambia music and a little gospel ink pen. So happy Father's Day for your pastor. Thank you for your love and your acceptance, your support. Grace and peace to you. Yeah.